personal fitness training. My name is Eddie Lester, here to take you through the book lecture today. And I wanted to start off by talking about chapter 2. It's a very in-depth chapter going over a lot of exercise science topics, but in all reality, it's not too focused on the test. There's only about two, maybe three questions on the test that relate to this chapter. So I'm not going to go over the chapter in a super, super detailed amount. I'm really just going to look at the main topics that you might need to know as a personal trainer to better yourself in the field. So looking at page 17 in the fourth edition revised textbook, we are looking at the objectives, which start off as defining the components of the human movement system, explain the basic structure and function of the nervous system, skeletal system, muscular system, and endocrine system, and describe how these systems respond and adapt to exercise. So, the human movement system, or introduction to the human movement system on the bottom of page 17, the human movement system is a combination of an interrelation of the nervous, muscular, and skeletal systems. So it is important to understand that the human movement system does take three systems, which is the nervous system, muscular, and skeletal system. So moving over to page 18, we're going to start off with the nervous system. And the nervous system is going to be your communication network within your body, composed of neurons and your spinal cord, brain, that's really going to tell the rest of your body what to do. From a conscious standpoint. But you do also have an unconscious nervous system too, which we'll talk about further down the road. So to define the nervous system, it's a conglomeration of billions of cells specifically designed to provide a communication network within the human body. Basically you're going to have your brain and spinal cord are going to be considered your central nervous system, with your peripheral nervous system being all the nerves extending from the brain and spinal cord. So they talk about the sensory function, integrative function, motor function of the nervous system. And just to define those, the ability of the nervous system to sense changes in either the internal or external environment is going to be your sensory function. So your sensory function is going to be all the nerves that more or less tell you what's going on about your environment. Integrative function is the ability of the nervous system to interpret the information from the sensory input. And then the motor function is to respond to that sensory input. So you basically have like, oh, hey, I'm looking at the stove and I put my hand near it and I sense heat. That sensory function is the heat being sensed and interpreted in your brain. Once that sensory information reaches your brain, you're going to interpret that sense as heat, and then you're going to pull your hand away via motor function by contracting the bicep or lat, whichever it is, to pull away. So, looking further down into the anatomy of the nervous system, we have the neuron. The neuron is going to be the functional unit of the nervous system. And specifically, there's going to be, just like the functions, sensory function, integrative function, and motor function, we're going to have different types of neurons. The sensory neurons, interneurons, and then motor neurons. And those are going to be transmitting signals towards the brain or away from the brain or interpreting signals from the sensory information. And as far as the neuron goes, you do need to know a little bit about the structure of the neuron. The neuron is composed of the cell body, the axon, and dendrites. So if you look at the top of page 19, you have the picture of the neuron, and you're going to notice the dendrites are like little finger-like projections from the cell body. The cell body is where the nucleus is, and then you have the axon, which is covered by these myelin sheaths that go all the way out to the end of the axon, which has the synaptic terminals and that sort of stuff. Moving further over to the middle of page 19, the central and peripheral nervous system, we talked a little bit about already how the central nervous system is the brain and spinal cord, and the peripheral nervous system is going to be all of the other nerves that extend from the spinal cord and brain, such as motor nerves and sensory nerves. And really, that's about it that you kind of need to understand about the central nervous system and peripheral nervous system. Potentially, just for your own information, the peripheral nervous system is going to be divided into what's called the somatic and autonomic nervous systems. Somatic refers to the voluntary controlled portion of your peripheral nervous system, and the autonomic nervous system is basically, I like to consider it the automatic nervous system, or it's one that you don't control, that does actions by itself, such like, or things like heart rate and hormonal secretion and stuff like that. So moving over to page 20, you're going to have a picture to start with the brain and spinal cord. That's going to be your central nervous system. And yeah, as you can tell, your brain is up located up top, protected by your skull, with your brain stem moving down into your cervical portion of the spinal cord, through the thoracic portion of the spinal cord, into the lumbar, and then out or down into the sacral portion of the spinal cord. And that's, notice you can tell that your spinal cord is all protected by your vertebrae, so it's important to have the muscles to protect the spinal cord by controlling the vertebrae, as well as understanding that if you were to break a vertebrae, that it might put your spinal cord at risk for injury, potentially damaging some of the nerves and disengaging some control to where those nerves head to or control. And specifically when we talk about the nervous system, we do want to talk about mechanoreceptors. In the bottom left of page 20, they define mechanoreceptors as sensory receptors responsible for sensing distortions in body tissue. And specifically, we want to know two mechanoreceptors, which if we move over to the page 22, you're going to have the muscle spindles and Golgi tendon organs. There's also things like joint receptors, but I want you guys to focus on the muscle spindles and Golgi tendon organs. The muscle spindles are going to be sensitive to a change in length of the muscle and the rate of length change. So when you stretch a muscle, that sense that you feel of, oh, my muscle is stretching, is going to be sensed by the muscle spindle. The Golgi tendon organ is going to sense a change in tension or a rate of tension change in the sense of, oh, I'm going to pick up this dumbbell and it is heavy, and that sense of the heaviness is going to be the Golgi tendon organ. And the Golgi tendon organ is going to be located, like it says, in the tendon, while the muscle spindle is going to be located in the muscle. So looking at the bottom right of page 23, we have physical activity in the nervous system, and then moving over to page 24, you're going to have just a little, a figure 2.7 on the top left of page 24. You're going to look at a picture that just talks about some of the sensory or joint receptors that are going to be located within your skin and in your joints. None of those are really that important to understand, and you won't typically talk about these sort of receptors with your clients. So we're going to move over to the skeletal system, which is on page 24 in the bottom left, and let's discuss the skeletal system as the or define it as the body's framework composed of bones and joints. So the skeletal system is going to be your bones, and it's going to be and the bones are going to connect via joints, which are lever systems in order to promote movement. And for instance, if you had all just one bone, there would be no movement available. So your bones, you have multiple bones that connect to form joints, which then allow for movement. So they define bones as providing a resting ground for muscles and protection of vital organs. They define joints as the junctions of bones, muscles and connective tissue at which movement occurs, also known as articulation. And that is decently important to know, just understanding that if they ever talk about articulation or they're referring to joints. For instance, arthritis is going to be inflammation of the joints. Itis meaning inflammation, arth meaning joint. So looking at the divisions of the skeletal system in the middle of page 25, we have the axial skeleton and the appendicular skeleton. Similar to the central nervous system and peripheral nervous system, the axial skeleton is going to be the skull, spine, and rib cage, or the skull, vertebral column, and rib cage, which has approximately 80 bones. And then you have the appendicular skeleton, which is going to be all your appendages and your pelvis as well. And yeah, if you look at the top of page 25, it gives you a good idea of some of the basic bones that you would want to know for fitness. Notice it doesn't have every single bone listed up there, but things like the clavicle, the scapula, the skull, your vertebrae, humerus, radius, ulna, your femur, bones like that are going to be important to know and understand, because those bones are the ones that are going to be to lever most of the muscles that you're going to be working out with your clients and within yourselves. So if I was to recommend studying any bones, I would recommend looking at the top of page 25 to understand the main bones that you're going to be moving more or less when you exercise. So moving over to the top left of page 26, they get into bone growth a little bit. The reason why bone growth is important is because when you exercise and when you place load on your joints or when you lift heavy things or do weight-bearing exercise, you're going to be stimulating bone growth. And they do list the cells that are important in bone remodeling, which is basically going to be the formation of bone or the reabsorption and formation of bone. But you have osteoclasts and osteoblasts. And osteoclasts are going to be what clear away old bone. That's the way I remember it, by with the CL saying they clear away old bone. And then you have osteoblasts, which are going to